Welcome to the More Business, More Life podcast. This show is for socially conscious leaders, entrepreneurs, CEO founders that have found success, but they don't have the ideal life that they would like. And what we're going to do is bring in concepts and systems so that we can increase business with millions of additional revenue while lowering our work hours, ideally below 40 hours a week. We call this More Business, More Life. And it's an and, not an or. We don't have to have either or. We can actually systemize this to have both. And those are the concepts we're going to come with each episode. Sometimes we might talk a little bit more about business, sometimes more life, most of the time, both. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the More Business, More Life podcast. And today we're going to talk about something that's really near and dear to my heart, sacrifice. Do we need to sacrifice to be successful? Is no pain, no gain true? We're going to bump up against that and we're going to say, what if it's not? What if we can do things without sacrifice and we can actually have more abundance and we can have better life? And what if we can do that in our household and we can make our family a better place? And what if we can have that trickle out into our neighborhood and make that a better place? And could we actually change the world by changing our perspective away from sacrifice and towards an amazing, beautiful experience while being effective? We're not saying we're not going to work. We're just going to work smarter, not harder. And how do we do this without sacrifice and change the world? Let's jump into this. This is a topic that is not new to us, but maybe you're going to hear it for the first time. But so often we're told that we need to sacrifice to have the life we want. And as I grew up in Silicon Valley in California and everything was go, 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 I was raised not only in my household, but like for all the people around me and all the businesses starting, the term no pain, no gain. Now, just think about it. No pain, no gain. So we're literally saying that if there's not pain, then there's nothing to gain. And I bought into that for years, years and years and years. But now I really think is there's nothing to gain from a hug. I mean, I'm just going to bring it to something kind of crazy, right? But that's not true. And as I started to look at things, you start realizing that maybe this isn't true. We have senses for a reason. And we know this in a physical form. Like if you get close to a fire, your body's going to move away immediately, right? Even without you knowing, if it's behind you, you might feel the heat and your body naturally wants to move away. And then we're taught to jump in the fire. Now I'm not denying that transformation, you know, won't happen. Like when we go through painful things, and I have in my life for sure, do I grow from those things? Yes. Do I gain from those things? Yes. So I'm not denying that. But what I am bumping up against is that that's the only way to grow, because that's what I thought. And so then that caused me to look for pain. Or if it wasn't painful enough, then I must not be doing it right. I might not be good enough, right? And I actually was that delusional. And I've met a lot of people that have leaned into that too. We've been kind of sold that that's the way it is. And I want to tell you now that if something is painful, I believe that it's our body, just like a nerve. Like if you touch a hot fire, your body's going to move away. Well, we have feelings for that reason, right? So that we can sense what's going on in our environment and we can make decisions on that. Our brain can make decisions if it's good or bad. And should we move away or move towards? And so the same thing happens in business or in life decisions. When it doesn't feel good, we shouldn't take it as, oh, let's lean in and break our leg. No, let's actually move back and decide if this is good for us. So even if it is good for you, I want to make a statement here that we need to slow down. So this all comes from, do we need to sacrifice to be successful? That's the question of the day here. And I would say no. Can you sacrifice things and have success? Yes. Do you have to? No. In my opinion, from everything that I've learned, because when I'm sacrificing, I'm not in my happiness most of the time, right? I'm like thinking that I have to suffer to be successful. And again, it can happen. You can go through some period of suffering and then have success on the other side, but you do not have to. I'm talking about like a must, like this is a requirement, because that's what I was taught. I actually thought in my younger years that it was a requirement. And now come to find out, when I'm going through painful situations, it's actually easier to slow down, observe, and find a better way. That's what I've learned. There's always another way. There's a million and one ways to do anything. There's not one way. So if one way you're walking on broken glass and jagged things and people are throwing knives at you, and to get to that same destination, there's probably another path where you could have fruit delivered on a platter and people are helping you walk on cushy little clouds, and you're walking with the best shoes in the world and being served some of the best food in the world and get to the same place, right? So how do we choose this? I think it's because we were taught to. But I'm curious, before we go into like what we can do about this and how do we transform, Stephanie and Giovanni have joined me today. What was it like for both of you? Did you sign up for that I have to sacrifice to be successful? And if you did, how did that look before we talk about how we changed this mindset?
I don't remember signing up for that. I think someone signed me up for that at some point, and that's just where I was. But some things that you said, I think there's, they call it like a hustle culture now, or like the grind, right? So then no pain, no gain. It's taking on different, you know, nomenclature over the generations. But it's almost like being the popular kid at school. It's like, everybody's doing this. If you want to be cool, if you want to appear busy and successful and popular, by all means, then you are just going to be busy all the time and working and hustling. And it was like a status almost, I think, at some point. And then if everybody else is doing it too, then you might as well be doing it, because then who are you going to hang out with if you're over here having a good life, enjoying yourself? And I guess I'm thinking about even before my family, and that was not the thing, but ended up being one of the things that helped me to slow down. But yeah, it's just this. And I think it's getting more awareness in culture these days that, you know, it's not okay. Like, we do need to, like, self-care is not just a trendy word. It's a real thing. And we have to have that. We have to prioritize ourselves, because no one else is going to, people are just going to keep taking what you offer. And I know it was that way for me with clients. Like, and sometimes it wasn't even that they were asking. I was just always offering to do more, give more, work harder, work longer hours, put in more work, even if it wasn't congruent with like what I was being paid. I was just always trying to bring value, and it came from a good place, right? I think wanting to help. But yeah, like at the end of the day, to your point, like, what is the value of our time? Like, if we're going to make another $5,000 or $10,000, is it worth sacrificing the things that we really say we want? And oh, by the way, what are those things? And I think we just get caught up, or I know at least I did, in achieving and doing and providing and all of that. That I even heard our teammates say that earlier today, like, what your dreams are, or what you like, the reason why you started all this and you're doing all this, it just sort of like fades to the background, and you even forget, like, why am I doing this? You just get caught up in doing. So
well, I think it brought up a lot of different things too, which is really good, Stephanie. But I mean, like, that, this is where busyness doesn't necessarily equal effectiveness. And I think you're right. We're in a busy culture. It's like, if I'm doing more, putting on more hours of work, I know in my family, we had the immigrant mindset where we just have to work harder and that everything will succeed. And many of us in this country, in the United States and abroad too, other countries, like, this mentality comes, like, how many hours you work. I know in a lot of Asian cultures, and I know specifically I have friends in Japan. I have one friend in Japan that she worked and she slept on the train to go home, take a shower, change her clothes, got back on the train and slept going back to work, and literally lived at work for a number of years. I'd have to ask her again how many years it was. And that was pretty much required. If you didn't do that, you weren't part of the club. And I think that's it. Whether you're signing up for your family club, your work club, your friend club, like what everyone else is doing, we want to belong. I mean, this is something that human nature. We want to belong, even if it means suffering and doing these things that hurt us. And so this is why I'm bringing this up, and why I know we all want to discuss it, because it really is a mindset, and we're not doing it because we want to hurt ourselves. That's not why we sign up. Like, oh my God. And I know I asked you, like, when did you sign up for this stuff? And you're like, I don't know if I did. Did someone sign me up? Like, but inside we like said, oh, well, if I want to belong in my family, if I want to belong in my school, if I want to belong in my job, then I need to show up like everyone else, even if it's our own pain. And I guess what we're saying is it doesn't have to be that way. But then how do you change without feeling guilty, right? If you're working 4 hours and everyone else is working 15, I mean, then, and you're out producing them, that's where it becomes magical. Then can we lead our team out of the woods of suffering and into the bright blue skies of joy? I mean, that gets into a whole tactical thing. Like, can measuring this and then showing your success can change the world, right? That we don't have to work 18 hours to be successful.
Yeah, I think it's becoming more obvious too. It's not just, I guess it could be the people closest to you, but I think what we've seen through all of our stories in one way or another is that it is something that is learned. And now with social media and everything else, you see it around, but it really comes from what we saw our parents do, right? Like that seems really clear. It was like, oh, they did it in this way. And either now that's what I know I'm expected to do, or it's like, I want that. I don't know how they got it, but I'm going to figure out my way to get what they had, or I don't want what they had. I don't want it in that way. I've seen, okay, an amazing example of what not to do. And so it's just really interesting where, like you said, when did we sign up for this? Where did someone sign us
Well,
up?
it's interesting that because I think society has changed, right? Like, because our parents and grandparents, if they wanted more, the general public, if they wanted more, they worked more, right? If they wanted something else, more money, they just worked more. And that even then, I don't think it worked, but it's even more so now, like trading time for money doesn't work. And there's definitely options. I would say a limit, unlimited amount of options to increase your money without working harder or more hours or wasting or using more energy. And yeah, it's that generational, 'cause I think we've mentioned it here too. Like I've seen like kids on YouTube now who are like making like six figures, just making like YouTube videos. Right. I mean, and not to take away that that's a lot of work, right? Once you get in like the video production and like all that, it takes time and work, but it's significantly different than where we were in the physicality of work, right? Whereas more manual labor and stuff like that, right? We're getting more now into creative and what is the word? More creative, more of thinking, think tank type stuff, where it's humans are now becoming more of that creative part, right? Because computers and automations are taking over the heavy lifting and all that stuff. And really, we're going to come down to getting boiled down to being more creative. And that I think gives us limitless opportunities to have growth, to have money, to have our time back, to have our energy back, all this stuff, but we don't have to sacrifice anymore. It's like I think if you listen to a lot of like multimillionaires, billionaires, and like how they're teaching their kids. I think I was listening to Grant Cardone the other day, or it's like a YouTube short or something. Somebody asked him about like, it's like, well, as like a wealthy person or a billionaire, I forget what he's at. He's like, how are you teaching your kids? He's like, well, it's like I took them out of school first off. They're homeschooled. They've been homeschooled for like the last 6 years. And he's like, well, do they have, and people always say, do they have like, oh, they're gonna be like not be as socialized and all this other stuff. And he's like, that's not the case. He's like they've both spoke in front of like a crowd of 8,000 people. They wrote their own speeches. They studied, they practiced themselves. Like he didn't help them at all. He's like, and they delivered a presentation to 8,000 people. Like that's pretty impressive, right? But like just the way they're thinking about it, they're training their kids differently than the general public of worker bees, right? Of just that continuous, which is the sacrifice, is trading your time, energy for money and whatever else it is. But as we know, there's another way and a better way to do it.
So let's pause real quick and take a break, and we'll be right back. I just want to have an expression of gratitude right now for Pro Audio Voices. They're the ones that produce my podcast. And Becky and her team are amazing. And for those of you that know me, I'm all about wow clients, wow partners. And Pro Audio Voices is a wow partner for me. And if you want to learn more, you can go to proaudiovoices.com and you can learn about them. They also do audiobooks and they're just amazing people. Thank you, Becky. Well, and you hit on a lot of points right there, Giovanni, and well done. And just to slow those down and break those down a little bit, I mean, first on the school front, we are in the information age and we have been for a number of years, like well over a decade now with everything happening with the internet. And we're still teaching kids to memorize information and take a test on that information when it's ridiculous because as soon as they leave school, they can just Google it, find the information. So we need to not be teaching kids how to memorize information. We need to teach them how to use the information. And that's the definition of knowledge. It's knowledge is knowing leverage. That's how you leverage the knowledge, not how you memorize it. Plutarch, this is like ancient text, right? Like many, 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 many years ago, Plutarch said, the mind of man is not to be filled, but to be kindled, like a fire, right? To be ignited. I can't remember if he used the word ignited or kindled. It was one of those words, but the mind, and that's the thing. I took that for our children, that we're not filling our children's heads. We're igniting their creativity. And it's sad to me. There are people that I've met that said, I'm not having kids. The world is horrible. I'm not bringing kids into this world. And that I think the opposite. We're in the best time to live in human existence. Like right now is the most opportunity, as you're pointing out, Giovanni. We have unlimited opportunities. You can be from home and be a millionaire and no one will know. Like you could walk outside and go for a walk and be in your hoodie and you could be a multimillionaire with the opportunities that we have. We're in a global space. You can literally call people from all over around the world and not just have a phone call, a video call. You could see the person all the way across the planet. When I started in business, I had to think, I live in the United States. I had to like really decide if I was going to call Canada because it was going to cost me like $50 a phone call. And should I be spending that money? Right now, it's all free. Now we have so much technology. We can do so many things. And if you're saying right now and you're like, yeah, Steve, that's great. But what about all the war and all this stuff? Well, that's also a fallacy. Empires are a small portion of our human existence. If you take the whole line of human existence, the reason that we think everything is evil and war is because that's what makes the third grade textbook and that's what makes the news. Us having this podcast right now, I don't think anyone's going to write on March 12th, 2024, Giovanni, Stephanie and Steve got together and did a wonderful podcast. It was so nice. We're not going to be, I hate to tell you all, we're not going to be in third grade textbooks and we're definitely not making the news right now because we're not blowing stuff up or hurting our neighbor. That stuff makes the news and it's an isolated incident. And now it's so sad to me. Everyone thinks that's what it is. And then we think, oh, we have to send our kids to school. And like you said, Giovanni, they have to sacrifice their time to memorize crap, to take a test that's really not going to help them in the world. And that's why colleges are going down. It's plummeting the amount of people. And previous to this, I can't remember what year this statistic, this is like probably 8-9 years ago, 30% of Americans get a four-year degree. And guess what? That's going down because people are done with filling their head with information. And we are in a complex place. We are in a place of growth in a rapid opportunity. And so what happens is it's change shock is what some people call it. The change is so rapid and you people think AI, robots, all these things are taking away things. But you know what they're taking away? The risky jobs. Like the guy that's hanging off a wire in the middle of the sky to put our power is now going to be done. Someone that's in New York City on the 150th floor cleaning windows. No one needs to do that anymore. Humans don't have to put their body at risk. We're actually saving lives, right? And then that person could go do something that they want to. Maybe they want to be a musician. Maybe they're an artist at heart, but they're cleaning windows to feed their family. And you don't have to do that anymore. So we have to learn to change. And this is why we have to dream again. And even more reason we don't have to sacrifice. And then last point that I want to make, and I know this is a lot, and I'm just echoing what you're saying, Jordan, is it's time to stop trading time for money. Like, I mean, it's completely ridiculous. I mean, just think about it. If you have been in construction, we actually have a client who's been in construction over 50 years. What is his hour worth? Right? What is his hour worth? So then if he is so much an expert and he, let's say he makes 500 an hour, 500 an hour, people would think, wow, that's ridiculous, right? 500 an hour. But he's been in the business so many years. Let's say he's worth 500, but I'm going to actually disagree with this. I'm going to give you an example. Then let's say there's someone that's been in construction for 20 years and they're $250 an hour. Now come to a problem, and this is a real story. One of our clients got called into a massive construction site and someone made a mistake. And they are already estimating that it was a 200 and something thousand dollar mistake. And our client and a friend of mine went in there and in 30 minutes figured a way to fix it for like 20 grand. Now, if he's getting his $500 fee, he just made $250. $250, right? If he got paid for the half hour. And then let's say that that person with 20 years, because is the one that figured out how to fix it for 200,000 before our friend got there. Then they spent 20 hours at 250. They just made 5 grand based on time. And then our client made 250. Is that fair? Does that make sense? No freaking way. Right? I mean, how do you take your lifetime? You know, my wife is just telling me it takes 7 minutes to make a pot on a wheel. Like 7 to 10 minutes, you can make a clay pot on the spinning wheel, right? But it takes 7 to 10 years to learn how to do that. Right? So this is where we're shifting. The Industrial Revolution is old, old. We're over 100 years into this. And we're still acting like that we have to go into factories and get punched the clock. This is what's dying, and this is what's cr it's not the world ending, it's the era. It's time to step into the new. And yes, it can be scary, but we have so much opportunity here. You no longer have to sacrifice, you no longer have to bleed to make a living. This is what's happening. I know that was a repeat of what you were saying, Giovanni, but I just, man, it was coming out of me. So thanks for letting me rant for a second. But I hope this inspires people. Turn off the news, stop scrolling on your social media, because that will tell you that the world's the horrible place that it is. And I'll give one more point, and then I want to re reopen it up to you. But if you all think that the world's going to come to war right now, who is that by? Go in your neighborhood right now with a clipboard, please, and go take a vote. Which one of your neighbors wants their children to bleed? Which one? Go vote. Who wants this? No one that I know. There's only a few people putting out stream of consciousness that this is where we're going. It's not true. It's such a small portion of our population on this planet right now. I would argue that the majority of the population wants peace, love, happiness. We want to feed our family. We want to have good well-being. Where our focus goes, energy flows. And you know, I'll make a bold statement right now. Who wants us to know this news? A very few people. It's the people that want empires, the people who want power over. They're the ones that taught us that we need to know about the war going on in some remote spot that is probably not even really happening the way that they're telling us. It's for their benefit. So I say, here, what's the solution? Know your neighbor. Invite them over for dinner. Go give them a hug. It's time to stop worrying about the White House and start working on your house. And then once you get that fixed up, then you work on your neighbor with your neighbor. And then once you fix that up, your street, your neighborhood, the city you live in, it's time to go local. I'm a little passionate about this. Stephanie and Giovanni, I don't know where you know what you took away from that, or if you want to have a comment. Thanks for everyone. And I'm open to everyone's thing. If you disagree with what I'm saying, I want to hear that. Let's have this conversation, because it's in this conversation that we could change the world. I'm not saying I know everything. I do not. I'm just speaking from my heart. And I know that every neighbor I know, none of them want blood to be shed.
No, I love everything you're saying. I love the passion that comes across, and it's like I'm listening and I believe you. And I also, it makes me go, well, then how does one person make a change? Like, how do we make an impact on that? And I think even if you just tap into some of the conversations that are happening online, and I agree with you, I think people do want peace, they want happiness, they want joy. They want to feed their families. They want to take care of themselves. They want to belong, all that good stuff. And I feel that too. And I think a lot of people are sort of lost and not knowing how to go about it. Like, how do you start that journey of like making that impact, bringing together the people in your neighborhood, like in your community, in your city? I think there's a lot of people who are trying to do a lot of different things, but like, how do we? And maybe you don't have the answers to that, but
I
it's just
actually
like,
think it's
what can
really
I do?
simple. Here it is. You say hello. You ask them what was the best part of their day? What was the part of the day they need help with? Can I help you? And you got to start inside your house. Like as many days as possible, I ask my children and my partner, my wife, I ask, hey, what was the best part of your day? What was your favorite part? What can I do? Here's a question. What could I do to help you smile more? What could I do to make you happier? Is there any, I mean, like, and just literally know your house. You start with you. You brought it up, Stephanie. Like, what is our taking care of ourselves, self-care? So it starts with you. If you take care of yourself and people watch you and then they start taking care of themselves, if you take care of your house and then they watch you and then they take care of their house, this will be a ripple effect. And then if you step out and meet your neighbors and have dinner with them, and this goes back to more business, more life. Why is it so important that we actually have more business and more life? Because then we have time to have dinner with our neighbors. Right now, I see so many households, they're working their butt off to pay all their bills. And by the time they get done doing that and they stuff their face with their meal, they go to bed and they start the next day. We need to start making change so we have time to know our neighbor, to know ourselves. And that's where it starts, Stephanie. We have to find the strategy. And that's why we're here. That's why we're doing this podcast. I hope you get ideas to slow down and see more and find new pathways to make a living or to earn your abundance so that you can have time to be a neighbor. Like we've gotten so divided. I know so many people, they don't even know their neighbors. That's where to start. That's where to start.
No, it's true. And I think you're right. A lot of it does start in your own home with the people who are closest to you. And it gets really easy to get into a place of like, what do I need? And how am I going to get what I need? But really, if you make sure that there others are getting what they need, then you get what you need. I got a message yesterday in my inbox, and it's, what was the quote? The difference you make in someone else's life will always be smaller than the difference it will make in your own. So, like, using your power to make a difference in someone else's life will come back like tenfold to just bring more joy and like more abundance to you. And it's really easy to say that and agree with it, and then to practice it is different. It does take some conscious effort, but I notice that when I bring that into my own experience, like it's like the joy is just, it's different,
That's it.
you know?
That's it. Beautiful, Stephanie. And I know we're out of time, but I don't know if you have one big takeaway, Giovanni, or a follow-up question before we wrap up.
I think we hit on a lot of points in this short time frame. So I would just say, like, take a look. If you feel like you're sacrificing something in your life, time, energy, money, resources, love, family, whatever it may be for you, like, just take stock of that and then make a conscious decision to change it. Because we have the power. I fully believe that in today's age, we have. I've said this multiple times, but we can have our cake and eat it too, and we can share it with others. Like we have the ability to do literally anything we want and can imagine in this time and space right now. We're living in an unprecedented time to create anything, create your life that you want, create happiness, joy, love. Impact, whatever it may be, whatever it is that you want. So just take stock of your life and pause for a moment and then Just ask yourself, what would you like instead?
Yeah. Thank you, Giovanni. That's so well said. We are living in the best time to be alive, I believe. One closing little metaphor, like kings used to live in a castle that they literally had to have servants break the ice on their water at the table so they could drink it. And think about your heating and air conditioning. I mean, just one small thing. We're living better than kings and queens lived in previous centuries, not far ago. Just one generation ago, it was not common to have an air conditioner and heater the way we do now. And if you go two generations back, non-existent, non-existent to have environmental controls like the way that we have now to live in comfort. We live in a beautiful time and we are sold that it's not. And that is a fallacy. And you can just travel. The only, how do I know this? Because I've traveled around the world and it's not what I see on the news. It's not. People are loving each other and eating great food and living in amazing places. So you too can do this. So in closing thoughts, if you feel like you're sacrificing, just stop for a moment and look around and find another way. There's always another way. Then take care of you and your family, and then go learn who your neighbors are. Go have meals. We used to do this. We used to do this. I remember my grandparents knowing all of their neighbors and having dinner. And we're Italian, so they used to make so much darn food. Like everyone in the street would come and they could feed them. And then I saw in my parents' generation that that disappeared. We became the busy generation and we stopped having time for our friends and loved ones. This will change the world if you change your perspective. Start with you, then your family and household, and then your neighbor. And that's it. We need to go back to small, we need to go back to local, and we can change the world. One neighbor at a time. We love all of you. Thank you for listening. And if you don't agree with us, I'm okay to hear that. If I miss something, please share it with me. And I just reply to our newsletter. And if you haven't joined our newsletter, all you have to do is text 72000 72000 and text WOW. And then you can join our newsletter for free. And we talk about all these topics. Our goal is to help everyone have the freedom they desire. And that's it. And so we're not saying we know everything. We're here to hear from you too. And we're giving everything that we got. So we love you all. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll see you on the next podcast. I always end it with choose gratitude and create freedom. Thanks for listening to the More Business, More Life podcast. I hope you got value. And if you did, we have so many more things for you at stevenoplaton.com. You'll be able to connect with us on social media. We are active. You can ask us questions. And then on top of that, I want to give you a really big gift. And it truly is. We want to give so much value. We have an offering. It's a program called Clear Path to Customers. It's the same way that we attract wow clients and only working with the right people, the people we want to. And it's transformed my business into millions more in revenue with the right people and my clients. And we're doing it absolutely free. So you can go to stevenoplaton.com and grab that. You just got to put in your information. We'll send it to you promptly. And that again is on stevenoplaton.com. I look forward to having you on the next show. Until then, remember, choose gratitude and create freedom.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.